Take your Bibles and turn to the book of James, please. I preached to preachers last Thursday, and if I can preach to them, I can preach to anybody. Amen. Only a few tomatoes were thrown, so I dodged them, and I'm ready to go. My topic tonight is a tough one. Dealing with anger. I knew when I was going to preach this tonight that starting this morning, I was going to get met head on by Satan. He tested me. I've lost the Bible I preach out of. Where did I do my Bible? And I can hear Satan back there just cackling. Well, I got another one. I think it's KJV. My grandkid that's staying at home watching me, we had to pick him up too. But I haven't got mad yet. Turn to James chapter 1, please, and verses 19 and 20. James chapter 1 is our text, verses 19 and 20. The Bible says this. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, please note he's not talking to the unsaved man. He said brethren, didn't he, class? Brethren, usins. Let every man be swift to what? Hear. And what? Slow to speak. That's why we have one mouth and two ears. Got it? And slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I want you to think. I was going to ask you how many of you get angry, and I don't want you to lie in the church house. But I want you to think about what's something that really makes you angry. Be thinking about that. Don't let it be long-winded preachers, please. Occasionally, we become angry for a righteous cause. That's usually our excuse. But I'm willing to bet 99% of the time we become angry because we are selfish and impatient. Write those down. And being a redhead, that fits me both ways. We can't afford to get angry in public. Did you hear that? Because what are we going to lose? Our testimony. Now, Brother, have you ever got angry? Yes. Have you ever got angry in public? Yes. Thank you, Brother Foster. And with all due respect to my Spanish friends in here, the last time I got angry was about Spanish situations, so please forgive me, Paco. My wife likes to clip out food coupons. She's very frugal. And she had some for Arby's. By the way, if Donald King was with me that night, we'd still be in jail. So I said, that's good. I'm Rigsby Stein. Let's go into Arby's. Aren't you scared when I get this on? I'll make sure Brother Temp stays awake. He gets a little sleepy. But so the coupon says in English, buy one, get one free. Amen. I can read. I've gone through the seventh grade. Buy one, get one free. On top of that is some other little writing that I don't pay any attention to. So I go up there ready to get my buy one, get one free, and I show it to the guy. And a lady, must have been the manager, come right by him, and I said, I want my buy one, get one free. She said, oh, that's not what it says in Spanish. Slow boil. I said, ma'am, unless something's happened in the last two nights that they've taken over or any country's taken over, I speak English, and I think we're still an English-speaking country. No offense, brother, but that's just what it is. Now, I was doing good, and I wasn't raising my voice too much. Peggy was sitting way in the back, and is she glad she was? Now, up to that point, I wasn't sinning. Be ye angry and what? Sin not. But when I slapped my hand down on the counter, that's why I had to come to your facility for carpal knucklehead, I lost it. Now, you're all looking at me real pious. I'd like to follow you in your car tomorrow morning. Amen? I'll go back to Arby. Did you apologize? I wasn't that sorry. Just the way it is, folks. I'm sorry. Political correctness, not with Brother Rigsby. By the way, the worst drivers in the world are black women with lipstick in one hand and a cell phone in there. Don't go near it. Hang on. If I haven't got you, you'll get it. Yeah, I got my dinner, and I ate it in anger, and it went all the way. Never mind. Listen, anger usually resides Listen, behind closed doors of most of our homes, I'm going to get to it. We rarely, if ever, lose our temper on the job with our colleagues. Rarely, that's it. What's the real you when you arrive home and pull up the drawbridge to your own private castle? Anger destroys the quality of our personal lives, our marriages, and our health. Angry words are like arrows from a bow. Once released, they cannot be withdrawn. Their damage cannot be undone. When anger pierces the soul of the home, the lifeblood of the family starts to drain away. Aren't you glad I don't follow you home? I got enough problems of my own thing there. Now, I'm going to talk about three kinds of people. Talking about anger. And let's see if you fit one of these three categories. Everybody ready? By the way, no jabbing, husbands and wives. There is a guy called Freddie Flash. He's got a short fuse. It doesn't take much to set him off. He loses his temper often. His anger is a frequency problem. His friends say he's mad at the world. Minor irritations blow way out of proportion. I like what one guy told a guy. He says, I lose my temper, but it's all over in a minute, said the student. So is the hydrogen bomb, I replied, but think of the damage it produces. Well, might be some Freddies here. Well, then there's carry control. Excuse the alliteration. Carry control doesn't get angry every day. However, when the long fuse finally burns down, the dynamite explodes. He loses control and strikes out with a verbal tirade, makes his wife's knees wobble and the children flinch in terror. His anger problem is an intensity problem. Well, have I got you yet? Let's try number three. No offense to my brother Gary Water. This is called Gary Grudge. We might have some Gary Grudges, and I know him better. He's a Buckeye. Can't do it. Gary Grudge never has an outburst of anger. Instead, Gary sees. He's this kind of guy, I don't get mad, I get even. He sees with anger and plots his revenge. His counterattacks are designed to discredit the man he hates. Gary often wakes in the middle of the night, a cold sweat reminding him of the one who has done him wrong. His anger problem is one of duration. Listen, if you're one of those people, you need to get it right with God. In the book entitled None of These Diseases, listen to a testimony here about somebody who held hate, by the way, for his brethren. It says this, the moment I start hating a man, I become his slave. I can't enjoy my work anymore because he even controls my thoughts and my resentments, produce too many stress hormones in my body, and I become fatigued after only a few hours of work. The work I formerly enjoyed is now drudgery. Even vacation ceased to give me pleasure. It may be a luxurious car that I drive along a lake fringed with the autumnal beauty of maple and oak and birch. As far as my experience of pleasure is concerned, I might as well be driving a wagon in mud and rain. The man I have hounds me wherever I go. I can't escape his tyrannical grasp on my mind. When the waiter serves me porterhouse steak with french fries, asparagus, crisp salad, and strawberry shortcake smothered with ice cream, it might as well be stale bread and water. My teeth chew the food and I swallow it, but the man I hate will not permit me to enjoy it. The man I hate may be many miles from my bedroom, but more cruel than any slave driver, he whips my thoughts into such a frenzy that my inner spring mattress becomes a rack of torture. God help us, folks, that we don't carry a grudge and hate and have anger towards our fellow brother and sister. It's not right. Well, I don't know which one of you three are. Some of you are looking real pious. I didn't get you. Well, hang on. Maybe I will in a minute. What makes us angry that shouldn't? Are you with me? I'm going to give you seven real quick. Don't start looking at the clock. That'll make me angry. Seven reasons for anger stir up our sinful nature and hamper our effort to live by the Spirit. Uh-oh. I don't know that I was in the Spirit in Arby's. I'll get back in. In a life fully surrendered to the Lordship of Christ, seven reasons for anger are opportunities for us either to become angry, or here's the better part, Lord's still working on me, how about you, to trust God with another area of our lives. Here we go. Number one, violation of our rights. We all think we have rights, amen? On a physical level, we have certain space rights. Don't get in my face. All been there. driving down the highway. That didn't hit you. This one will. Guy comes over in front of you, or a woman, no offense. Wait a minute. Or somebody takes a parking place. You ever have that happen? I mean, there it is, and you're going for it. And shh. You ever get mad about that? Don't you lie in the church house. A violation of rights, and we get very angry. Disappointment with our station of life. Many people become bitter and angry when they begin to suspect that their oyster doesn't have the pearl they wanted. Many of us need to accept our lot in life as from the Lord, provided we have been faithful with our abilities. Paul said in verses, chapter 4 and verse 11, I've learned in whatsoever state, man, I came from Michigan to Texas, whatsoever state to be content. Amen? And you Texans have helped me out. You've told me what my first name is, and you've been real kind to me. Some of you will get that after the service. Number 3, block goals. Setting and achieving realistic goals can be a great source of personal satisfaction. When we get blocked from achieving our goals, for good cause or not, we frequently respond in anger. The Lord's taught me some good lessons. I like to be planning. I like to get, you know, I like to have everything laid out so where it goes smooth. Can I let you in on a little secret? That doesn't happen in the Lord's work. Especially as an associate pastor. It's petty party time for Brother Riggs. Huh? What's smooth? Bumpity, bumpity, bump, huh? How do we handle that? Well, turn to Psalm 37. We're trying to help you with your anger situation. Anger management, that's what I should have called that. So. Psalm 37. When you get there, wait on me. And the Lord's laid out some good verses for us to underline. You know them. You're pretty familiar with them. Psalm 37, verses 4 to 8. All has to do with the anger part. What do we do when our goals get blocked? Well, here you are. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Look at the next word. Rest in the Lord. And wait, here's a word. Oh, I'd like to just throw it out. Give me patience, Lord, but hurry. Hurry. What is it? Wait, how? Patiently. You need that, Brother Rigsby. And what do? For him, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked device to pass. 8, cease from what, class? Anger. And forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Did you see those words? Fret not. Trust, delight, commit, rest. That'll help you with the block goal and from getting angry with that. Well, have I touched you yet? Raise your hand if I've got you yet. Raise your hand if I've touched an area that's touched you. Come. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You saw that. I didn't see any touch. Maybe this one will get you. Irritations. Life's little irritations often seem to weigh more heavily on us than our true dilemmas. Let me take you back to the early days of marriage. Can you remember that far? Two people, I wish they had told me this before I got married. It'd been a lot easier on Peggy. Two people from two different backgrounds come to live together. I don't squeeze the toothpaste there. I like the toilet paper rolling this way and not that way. Are we getting there? Honey, don't get angry with me because I just put a little bit of jelly on my toast and you go about 4 flops. 45 years of wonderful bliss and irritation. Amen. Back here to have put up Brother Rigsby. But sometimes it's just those little irritations that just bug the dickens out of you. What bugs you in driving? Somebody in 70 mile an hour lane is going 45. By the way, if you want to know how I handle that, see the Miss Cook right down here. Sheila. Sheila and Mike have handled that problem. You talk to her. Number 5, feeling misunderstood. Other people don't create your spirit. They only reveal it, by the way. And they say that about character. We often think that people don't understand us, our feelings, our attitudes, our abilities, our potential. They probably don't. But holding a pity party and becoming angry doesn't help resolve anything, folks. Put her down. Benjamin Franklin said, anger is never without a reason, but seldom with a good one. Amen? Number six, unrealistic expectations. Stop and camp here a moment. I expect strangers to let me down. Now, we're talking to brethren. I expect the unsaved people to let me down, don't you? The problem is that I often set unrealistic high expectations for my friends and family and fellow Christians. Be honest, have you ever got frustrated with Christians? Being an associate pastor, I have to say amen. Why? Because we think they ought to be on a little different level. Take your Bible, and we'll be in Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4. Don't let that get the best of you. Don't get angry about that, but I'm telling you something. We do, and when we do, we'll get angry if we don't take care of it. Amen? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Some real good advice, controlling anger and controlling ourselves with the brethren. Ephesians chapter 4, you've heard them. Say it again. Let all bitterness and wrath, and right goes with it, and what? Anger and clamor and evil speaking. What do we do with it, guys? Be put away from you with all malice. That's God speaking to the brethren. Amen? Read on. And, oh my, do we have to do this? Be ye kind one to another. Tender hearted. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake, what? Hath forgiven us. Trying to help you with the anger thing. Trying to help you with the unrealistic expectations. And number seven, and I understand there is some of this. It's called a pathological or a psychological thing. There's possibly in some people some emotional disorder. Maybe some children that have been in an abusive family. And we understand they need to seek counseling. But most of the time, our anger is not from that. What's the summary? Most of our anger ends up in sin. Is it a sin to get angry? No. But after that, it's the sin not. Amen. Jesus came, and you can check it out in the Bible, came in, and they weren't making his house a house of prayer. And he became angry, but sinned not. Amen. God is God. Does he get angry? Bible says in Psalm 7:11, God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. He does it a godly way. It's not wrong with that. But when we sin, we mess up on it, and we do it. All right? Anger is sin. Usually the best guideline for anger. Now, you're right there in Ephesians. If you haven't moved, move on up there to verse 26. I'm going to help you out here. Verse 26. Be angry. There's our word. And sin not. There it is. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Did you get that? Well, we have an argument. Now, I told you, Peggy and I have been married 45 years. And you always heard me say, if a man says that he and his wife have never fought in 45 years, there's one or two problems. He's either a liar or he's got lace on his britches. How many think Peggy and I have had a few rounds in 45 years? You're still with me. Peggy's cringing. But I'll tell you what, we've never gone to bed angry. We've stayed up real late a whole lot of times. We've seen the sun come up. We've tried to be obedient to that, but get it settled, folks. Get it settled. Amen? What do we do here? These verses. First, control yourself and don't sin in anger. By the way, people are watching. Do you notice I've observed a pastor cannot afford to get angry in public? What if Dr. Weaver gets up here next time and he just has a hissy fit, whatever that is? You would sit back here and say, man, he's lost control. I promise you, you would lose respect for the man because he did not have, thank God, pastor wouldn't do that. Now, I've been in the office once in a while when he gets a little angry, and rightfully so, and we'll leave that alone. What'd you do, brother? It's none of your business. Let me give you quickly four things that we need to in responding to anger and anger temptation. I promise you, when you leave here tonight, you forget all about this message. Sometime between now and when you get home, Satan's going to tempt you. Well, how's he going to do that? Well, your wife says she needs four things at the grocery store. And you remember three of them.
And the other three you got was either low sodium or I wish they quit changing stuff. Peggy says, didn't you read the label? Well, it said corn. Oh, well, that's another thing. I'll try not to get angry over that. Here we are, four quick things to help you. Number one, keep control. Proverbs 29:11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards. You know, the old saying of counting to 10, it probably isn't a bad idea, amen? You got to keep control. Number two, here's one we got to work on, Christian. We have to overlook offenses. Proverbs 19:11, get this. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Did you get that? Oh, Brother Rigsby, he offended me. Well, God bless you. Stand in line. You see how Satan wants to get a toehold in that thing and cause in the body of Christ some dissension? I like Dr. House's favorite expression, build a bridge and get over it. Because it's going to happen. Somebody's going to get mad in here, or somebody's going to offend you. Just get it, take the scripture, keep in control, overlook the offense. Number three, avoid angry men. Avoid angry men. Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25. Listen to it. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Why is that? Well, keep reading. Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Doesn't mean you don't love them. Don't mean you don't pray for them. But you avoid them. You stay, because if you're not careful, you'll wind up being like they are. Number four, appease anger. How do you do that? Proverbs 15:1. Listen, I've tried this one, and it do work. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Having been a principal for a few years, Brother Chuck, you'll appreciate this. I'm sure it's never happened to you. This is Christian school. You know, expect more from Christians. I was sitting in my office one day, minding my own business, whatever I'm doing, smelling chocolate. We always had fundraisers. We had them chocolate, world's finest chocolate. I still smell them babies. And some gal came in my office. Now, I'm sitting down. She's standing up, and she's pounding on my desk. She's mad. She's, what's her subject? Angry. Boy, she just kept ranting and ranting. I just sit there and smile. Finally, she ran out of her tirade, and I said, ma'am, when you calm down, I'll listen to you. But until you keep on hollering, I'm not listening to you. She finally said, we had a civil conversation. Amen? A soft answer, a soft reaction will turn away wrath. That's what the Bible says, trying to help you with anger. Now, let's close. If you're an angry person and would like to overcome your sin of anger, isolate the reasons for your anger from the list of those that I gave you. Ask God to reveal your depth of your sin in the area of anger. Ask him to forgive you for your sin of anger and to change you into an unselfish, patient person. Amen? The next time you feel your blood beginning to boil, ask yourself, am I becoming angry for a selfish reason? Or am I becoming angry for an impatient reason? Amen? Let's stand to our feet, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If I went over 8 o'clock, you'd be angry with me, so I'm not going to do that. I don't know if the message spoke to anyone, and we certainly aren't going to assume if you come to the altar and speak to God that you're an angry person, but I'm telling you, I've seen angry things, and I've seen what it does. It hurts. It harms. It can even cause death. People get angry enough. Road rage, you're familiar with that, but we're talking to the brethren today. I wonder tonight, do you have anger against someone that you need not have anger against or ought against your brother? Maybe you're handling it okay and you just want to say, Lord, help me and give me patience and let me have a soft answer and let me not hurt the cause of Christ and the body of Christ. The Lord speaks to you. You come as we sing a hymn of the invitation.